It is a quiet day on Capitol Hill here. They're not in session right now, but behind the scenes, Republicans in the Senate are gearing up to make what could be the most significant, the most dramatic change to the healthcare system in a very, very long time. There are four senators that I'm aware of that are the key holdouts right now. John McCain, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski are holdouts, and Rand Paul is a no. They need at least two of the other three to pass it. It is not clear where they are. There are several other Republican senators that are on the fence at this moment, but they are expected to vote yes if this comes up.
We were talking about the damage to the electricity grid there as well, and the power cuts that we're seeing to the country and in Puerto Rico as well, because they're also operating under bankruptcy conditions now as well.
Yes, I mean, this has been, again, a long saga with the Puerto Rican electric power company. The company has always had operational difficulties. Its plant has been somewhat antiquated. It needed an upgrade. Part of the restructuring proposal that had been on the table was to improve the plant and equipment and improve the grid.
A menacing message from Kim Jong-un on Friday, the North Korean leader vowing to make Donald Trump pay for threatening to destroy his country at the UN. In a rare direct statement to state media, Kim called Trump mentally deranged, threatening to tame him with fire, and saying he's considering, quote, the highest level of countermeasure in history.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program on this Friday. It's September 22nd, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for our Friday edition of The Opening Bell and another business day. We have a nice show for you lined up this morning. Paul Nolte is in the house. We'll bring him in momentarily a little bit later on. Rick Cini is back from vacation, and we'll be talking about getting your Thanksgiving airfare. If you ever hadn't started looking for that yet, you might be out of luck as the prices and seats are going up and seats are going fast. So we'll talk to Rick about that a little later in the program. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, most Asian stocks fell today as investors turned cautious following new U.S. sanctions targeting North Korea and China's credit rating downgrade. The situation in North Korea, you heard there in the opening montage, seems to be ratcheting up. President Trump authorizing stiffer sanctions against North Korea and the North Korean reaction to that. Markets in Asia getting their first chance also to react to Standard & Poor's announcement late Thursday that it was downgrading China's credit rating, citing rising debt levels. This morning, futures pointing toward a negative open on Wall Street now, but they could recover a little bit here as we move to the morning. It looks like the chart is moving up. The Dow futures, though, off about 11 points right now. S&P futures down 3. NASDAQ futures off about 10. The broader market in Asia, Nikkei off about 51 points, down a quarter. The Hang Seng off about 1%. The Shanghai off just a fraction this morning. In Europe, most of the markets are positive, with the FTSE up just a fraction. The DAX is up about 0.25%. And the CAC is up about 0.5%. Oil is trading at $50.52 a barrel. Couple of other stories we're watching for you. The top Democrats on the Senate Intelligence Panel say they're pleased with Facebook's announcement that the company is going to provide Congress with thousands of ads bought by Russians and also to increase transparency on the site. But the Democrats are planning legislation to prevent foreign election interference in social media. Virginia Senator Mark Warner says he's writing a bill that would require social media companies to disclose who funded political ads similar to television broadcasters. The Facebook CEO says the company would require similar disclosures on its own. Airlines plan to resume some flights into Puerto Rico as early as today after Hurricane Maria left the island territory without power. American Airlines says it plans to send its first plane to San Juan from Miami this morning. Delta Airlines plans to resume flights from Atlanta and New York. United, Chicago-based United, says the airline is still assessing the situation but will not operate flights there on Friday. And a federal judge has tentatively approved a revised settlement to a class action lawsuit over a West Virginia chemical spill that left up to 300,000 people without tap water for up to 9 days. The judge there scheduling a hearing for January. The deadline for claim submissions will be February. In January 2014, a tank at the now-defunct Freedom Industries in Charleston leaked thousands of gallons of coal-cleaning chemicals that went into West Virginia's American Water Treatment Plant, just a couple of miles downstream. Well, it's Friday, and that means Paul Nolte is here, like he is every Friday. We have our Friday discussion about the week's big economic news and other stuff. Paul is a senior portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management. Paul, good morning. Happy Friday.
Good morning, and welcome to fall.
Yeah, yes, exactly. what is it, only 90 degrees outside?
90 degrees. It's a little warm. We'll take it.
What did you see in the news this week about the economy that we need to know about?
Well, really, I think the big news, if you will, is the Fed. They had their meeting and discussed interest rates, left them alone. But in the press conference afterwards, Janet Yellen was talking about what they're going to be doing to their balance sheet. And the real surprise is they still are penciling in a December rate increase. And we've been talking for a long time that the Fed is probably done. And in my view, the Fed is done raising rates. And actually, the projections for a rate hike in December went from less than 25% to now 65-66%. So that was a big surprise to the market. The reaction, though, in the equity markets and even the bond market to a little bit more hawkish Fed, one that's a little bit more predisposed to raising interest rates, has been surprisingly very, very muted at this point.
And so muted meaning, is this an opportunity or a worrisome time in that market?
You know, again, the answer is never quite cut and dry. One of the things when you're talking about raising interest rates, rate increases are never good for the equity markets over the long run. Higher cost of capital, et cetera, and it has a dampening effect on the economy. But when you're looking at a lot of the economic data, and one that we like to look at is the leading economic indicators from the conference board, projections for a recession are a year, 2 years away. So we're not worried about the economy falling apart just yet. And to her credit, Janet Yellen was talking about being very, very gradual and still data dependent about raising rates. So it's not that they're really pushing the pedal to the metal just yet, but it's something to worry about.
They also, as expected, you mentioned the balance sheet's going to start unwinding. It seems like they're going to start doing that very slowly, though.
They are. They're talking about a $10 billion, you know, which is chump change to the Fed at this point, but $10 billion a month of maturities and cash coming in from mortgage-backed securities that they hold that they will not be reinvesting. And again, surprisingly, the bond market took that very much in stride. You would have expected, because that demand is going away from anywhere between $10 and $50 billion a month, that you would see prices pick up a little bit. You really didn't see that at all.
$10 billion of about $4.5 trillion. At that rate, what is it going to be, 2092?
It's going to be a long time. I mean, as I said, it's a very, very gradual. I mean, the goal here is really not to disrupt the market. So from their perspective, that's really their goal. They're not going to get the balance sheet all the way back down to pre-08 levels, because the economy is that much bigger now than it was in 08, that much more money in circulation. So their balance sheet's going to have to be larger than it was in 08. So they don't have as much to go to reduce as much as everybody thinks.
Well, we might get more context about what's happening at the Fed today. I know a couple of Fed governors, you mentioned a couple of Fed governors are going to be out speaking today. What would you be listening for?
You know, one of the things that I brought along here in my audio visual for radio is the comments from a lot of the past meetings and some of their other comments about the rate of inflation. And that's really the Fed's biggest concern at this point, is inflation is not getting anywhere near where it should be given our very low rate of unemployment. And a lot of the comments center around technology issues, disruption. We've talked about Amazon in the past. So there's a lot of things that are going on in the economy, I think, that the Fed really doesn't have their arms around yet, and they're still trying to figure out why inflation is not going up. And as long as inflation is below that 2% target level, there's a fair amount of governors on the Fed that think that we really don't need to raise interest rates until we get there. So there's going to be continued, not dissension, but discussion on the Fed, certainly, about, you know, the pace at which we raise rates.
Paul, hang on. We're going to continue our conversation with Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management as the opening bell continues here on this Friday.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, after a three-day surge, major U.S. benchmarks ended lower yesterday. The S&P 500 lost 7.5 points. The Dow Jones Industrials gave up 53 points to 22,359. The NASDAQ Composite closed 33 points lower at 64,22. Forget this week's bankruptcy filing. Toys R Us is accepting job applications for part-time holiday positions at its stores and distribution centers, including a new one, Toy Demonstrator. That employee will help kids to test out toys. Houston homeowners could face higher property taxes on houses they're struggling to rebuild after Tropical Storm Harvey. The mayor has proposed a one-time increase in the city's property tax rate to help pay for cleaning up after Harvey. And General Mills is bringing back the original Trix less than 2 years after artificial ingredients were banned from that cereal. The new natural version has lost its famous neon color because the cereal makers couldn't find natural replacements. General Mills will sell both the natural and the artificial versions of Trix. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. I think that's the best news I've heard in a while, Paul, that we just heard there. Trix is going back to the original formula, the original fruity, sugary formula. Listen, on Wall Street, we've seen a couple of down days now, and you were just in the break telling me that that is do the math for us there.
Yeah, if the futures hold today, yesterday is the first down day for the Dow in 9 trading days, so 2 weeks. Yesterday's decline was roughly 30 basis points, a third of 1%. And if we have the decline today and it holds, that'll be the worst two-day stretch in over a month. The market has been extraordinarily quiet. The trading ranges have been very, very narrow for a long time. And it's very unsettling to a lot of people that we have all of these events going on around us, geopolitical, economic, the Fed meeting, et cetera, and the markets move a couple points in either direction. And some people point to that means that there's a top right around the corner, and others say, well, don't worry about it. You know, we're just pausing before the next leg up here.
Yeah. September is usually kind of a slow month anyway, historically, isn't
usually
it?
Usually it's the worst month of the year. Going back to 1950, if you take a look at each of the months of the year, the best months tend to be November, December, in an early part of the year. The worst months are August and September. So we've skated through August in great shape. September is looking okay. So we've got one more month to go, and then we enter the best part of the year from November to January.
We heard Warren Buffett talking this week of Dow 1 million. he said he probably wouldn't be around to see that, but who knows?
I doubt it. Yeah. You know, if you do the math and take a look at where he's projecting a million, I think it was by 2170 or something like that, so over 100 years from now, The math works out to about a 5.5% to 6% annual rate of return, which is substantially below the long run average, which is 9% to 10%. So, it's a nice number. The only thing that everybody that I saw the headlines were was that he projects a million. one of the rules when you're doing that is you can project price and you can project time. Just don't do both of them at the same time.
Yeah, probably going to be kind of dangerous there. Hey, listen, the Equifax breach, we've been hearing all kinds of things with our credit, but is there anything we need to know about this for our portfolios or our investments? Does any of this information that got hacked used for those areas?
And the potential exists because they're getting a hold of a lot of information that they can be used to open up accounts, open up a brokerage account, open up a credit card account, because the same information is used in both cases. So you still do want to monitor not only your credit rating, and a lot of the banks provide you a lot of that information. You can check TransUnion, you can check Experian, and certainly Equifax. On a regular basis, change your password, especially if you're using your Social Security number as a login. Some people still do. So you want to be vigilant, like anything else. And this is just another one in a very long list of breaches, from Target to the SEC now to Equifax. You just want to be vigilant about the information that's being used and take a look at potential issues with your credit and credit cards.
If somebody opened a brokerage account in our names, would we know that? I mean, how would we even keep track of that?
Well, it would show up in the fact that you would see some of that information on a credit report, okay. Because, again, it's getting filed somewhere. So you have that ability to see some of that type of stuff.
What do you like here at the end of the week?
Still liking international. International, if you look at emerging markets, year-to-date, up 30%. The international developed markets, Europe, Japan, up 20%. The S&P is up about 12%. International still looks very good to us. We think we're in probably the second inning of what is probably going to be on a relative basis, relative to the U.S., a long time of outperformance. We've had about 6-7 years of underperformance by international markets. We think we're on the front end of that, and especially with the lower dollar, which provides us a much better rate of return. We're translating them back into cheaper dollars.
All right. Big plans for the weekend?
We're going to get up and up to Michigan and do a little bit of bike riding and visit our youngest up there for the day, and then probably plant ourselves in front of the TV and watch some Cub baseball.
All right. Well, sounds good. Paul, we'll see you again next Friday.
Absolutely. We'll talk then.
Paul Nolte, Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Kingsview.com is the website where you can go visit Paul.
From ABC News Tech Trends.
This is a huge step forward for iPhone.
The early reviews are in on that iPhone 8. In addition to the bold redesign for the iPhone X, Apple introduced two other devices for 2017 with more incremental changes, the 8 and 8 Plus. Dana Woolman with the tech blog Engadget says these devices are targeted at a specific audience.
Someone who either doesn't want to pay that much for a phone or, just importantly, someone who isn't ready to give up the home button.
Engadget's team of reviewers found them to be high-quality phones overall.
Great performance, great camera. Great battery life.
They've also got an improved 12-megapixel camera, slightly smaller screens than the iPhone X. And Woolman says because this version keeps the home button, users will find they look and feel familiar. The big takeaway?
So people who buy it won't be disappointed unless they're the sort of early adopters who really want the latest and greatest, in which case, by all means, wait for the iPhone X to come out.
With Tech Trends, I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're here with us for our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. A little bit of developing news in the world of startups and other stuff this morning from London. We're hearing now that Uber's license to operate in London is being revoked. Will not be renewed. The company will be able to appeal within 21 days. Lots of pressure in London by taxi companies against Uber, some regulation issues as well. But this morning, Sky News is reporting that Uber's license to operate in London will not be renewed. We'll have more on that throughout the morning here on 720 WGN. It is still September, but Thanksgiving is right around the corner. If you're planning to travel during one of the most popular and expensive times of the year, it's time to start looking. Rick Sini is with us this morning from faircompare.com in Dallas. Rick is the founder and CEO of Fair Compare. So, Rick, I guess it's never too early to start looking for some of these fairs, is it?
It isn't too early. I know it seems a little early to be sitting here in sort of mid-September and thinking about buying for Thanksgiving. But, you know, I want to get people sort of in the mood to start not procrastinate this year. Essentially, what you need to be shopping for right now is if you have to leave on the Wednesday before or return on the Sunday after. Those are two of the busiest days of the year and the most expensive. Start adding about $1 to your virtual airline ticket every day you procrastinate. You still have time before procrastination hurts you for other days like the Tuesday, Monday departures, returning Saturday, for example, or Monday. And the absolute cheapest day historically the last 5 years to fly has been the morning of Thanksgiving. Excellent time to fly if you can make it to grandma's house by noon and get some family and football action in. And you're almost guaranteed an empty middle seat on that day because demand is pretty low.
Is there a strategy, Rick, for doing this? I know Fair Compare has a lot of great tools to do this, but what would you suggest that our strategy be? Just start looking everywhere right now?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing to do is sort of kick the tires, make sure you know what a price points are, depending on where you want to go. Almost immediately, you'll find when you start to shop for this, that if you shop the week before or the week after, you're going to see prices typically 25 to 50% higher already, and it's going to start getting more expensive. You're going to see that nonstops, for example, anything outside of 2 hours is going to be way more expensive than connecting flights. You won't see that huge of a difference if the flight is only an hour nonstop flight, for example. So you'll start to poke around on the particular days. You'll see exactly, you know, what the price point is. We have calendars for that, so you can take a look and see what the difference in price is. But just generally, most people buy tickets inside of 30 days before departure. That most people, meaning about 70% of all tickets are sold. Now, a lot of those are business travelers, but a lot of people still procrastinate, and that's the worst thing you can do. You're playing right into the airline's hands, who have over a decade of digital history. They know exactly how much to charge us and when.
So if one of the, let's say you do procrastinate, and again, everybody probably will, and they hit a flight that they want that's suddenly all of a sudden sold out, is there any likelihood that more seats will be added or that another flight will be added on that route? Because it would seem like a popular route. And how, what's the strategy for going back to checking that kind of thing?
Yeah, generally airlines can't add capacity that quickly on a particular route. They do it from time to time. We saw them actually add some quick capacity into Florida for people evacuating, for example. But typically they would only do that in sort of an emergency situation. So you won't see a bunch of extra seats added. It happens from time to time. I've seen them add seats, for example, you know, after the NFC conference game or AFC conference game, when they know that people are flying to a particular Super Bowl destination or something like that. But very rarely do you see that happen for holidays.
Sometimes Thanksgiving travel can be even more burdensome if you have to take the entire family along. Any special tips for people who are traveling with, let's say, two or three young people and the full family?
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, if you're traveling with young kids, just know that just that time of year, just generally, you're looking at a between 14 and 18% delays and cancellations that time of year, typically because of Mother Nature. So, you know, one in five of us with a family is going to end up, you know, having kids that are, you know, going to be very cranky if their batteries aren't fully charged and their latest app or game isn't running smoothly. Also good for parents to actually sign up for flight status alerts. Always great to do that ahead of time. You can do that for free usually on the airline's website by signing up for their loyalty program. There's other sites like Flight Stats that allow you to do that as well. Just remember that information you're getting on Flight Stats the day of travel is for informational purposes only, just so that you can sort of prepare. They can actually delay a flight and then undelay a flight. You don't want to be caught up in that as well.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the weather. It's 90 degrees this week here in Chicago, but that's about the time snow starts falling, isn't it?
It is. You know, Mother Nature is pretty fickle when it comes around holiday season. We've seen some great holiday seasons, and we've seen some ones where there was all sorts of craziness that was going on because of snowstorms and a variety of airports that basically couldn't get aircraft off the ground, crews, flight attendants, etc. So it can be a little bit harrowing time of year to fly. If you can avoid the Wednesday before and or the Sunday after or either one of those days, it'll just a little less harrowing.
We haven't had a chance to talk to you since these major hurricanes have passed, but I'm wondering how you gauged the airline's performance during all of that.
You know, I thought they just generally over the last 5 or 6 years, airlines have done a much better job of having their meteorologists on staff, proactively canceling flights ahead of things, knowing that these historically it would have been very difficult for an airline, especially when they were having financial trouble, to cancel a flight ahead of time because they didn't know whether or not something was going to hit or not. And that's that meaning a week or two in advance. In some cases, you know, at least waiving particular penalties and fees. They did a good job of that. Also, they put on some extra capacity because a lot of people were having to evacuate certain areas. So, you know, I'd give them definitely an A for, you know, compared to, for example, 6 or 7 years ago when we saw a lot of people stuck at airports when we had weather particular issues. Airlines are doing a much better job of giving consumers and travelers better information well ahead of time.
I was hearing from people that were also impressed that a few of the airlines, you know, offered $99 flights to get people out of the hurricane zones. They were pretty impressed with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The airlines are, you know, they're people. They're made of people just like everybody else. They have family members down there that they need to get evacuated. So just generally, everybody pulls together in those situations, and it's actually good to see.
All right. Rick, get us out of town. Anywhere good to go before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I was kind of looking sort of in the mid-October timeframe, which is a perfect time to fly. I know it's tough for some people because kids are back in school, but if you can get away, you know, there's sub-$100 tickets in some places. You know, you have places like Denver that are under $100. Under $200, you have a whole list of slew of cities. Portland, Salt Lake City, all the West Coast cities are under $120. For example, places like Dallas are in $80 round-trip range. You've got the Northeast, Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., all under $150 round trip. So there's a ton of places you can go. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday are the three cheapest days to fly. If you're flying on Monday, Friday, and Sunday, expect to pay about 20% more.
All right, Rick, happy travels.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
Rick Cini is the founder and CEO of FareCompare.com. You can follow Rick on Twitter at Rick Cini and FareCompare at FareCompare, FareCompare.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures pointing toward a negative open on Wall Street later this morning, down about 12 points. NASDAQ futures down 10, and S&P futures are off about 3 as we head toward the opening bell at 8:30 Chicago time this morning. Let's get the latest now on agriculture and commodities. Orion Samuelson's with us. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning to you, Steve. It continues to be a rather dry period across the Midwest as we move into harvest time. But, you know, I've been talking for the past couple of months about the fact that the outdoor farm shows have had good, ideal, dry weather. But this week, the Ohio Farm Science Review on Tuesday, which was opening day, did get a pretty good downpour. I think 1 to 1.5 inches of rain on opening day, but then it kind of dried out again. And so it's going to be interesting on Monday when we get the weekly crop condition reports to see the percent of harvest, which is complete, because corn at this moment is still behind about a week to 10 days in maturity. And so we're not in a big rush. We've harvested 7% of the corn crop, 5% of the soybean crop, and that's a little behind average.
Is a stretch of 90-degree temperature like this, and I know the other parts of the state in the Midwest are having different weather, but when we see a stretch of hot weather like this, is it generally good at the end of the growing season?
Well, it's better that it be dry at the end of the growing season. Not this dry. This is quite unusual. Our TV meteorologist, Greg Soldier, said we are going to get a turnaround in the weather pattern probably in about a week and a half, but the hurricane activity just backs up weather systems across the country. And it's interesting to see what happens when we have hurricanes on the East Coast or the Gulf, and particularly, as I've mentioned before, in the Gulf, because very often they will turn north once they have spent a lot of their energy and rain, and then they'll come up the Mississippi and into the Ohio Valley. That's what hit the Ohio Farm Science Review on Tuesday of this week, the remnants, I think, of Irma that made its way up here. So, but from a harvesting standpoint, you do like to have dry weather because rain really slows things down. So, like every year, we just can't get Mother Nature too upset with us.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I know, Orion, you've mentioned it a couple of times this week. Farm safety is the topic this week on everybody's minds, and very apropos that it's during harvest season. What is the takeaway this week? Safety, number one, right?
Number one, safety. And as I said last week on Samuelson Says, there are still a lot of danger spots on farms for adults and kids. We have removed some of them, but then we've replaced them with something else. Grain bin entrapment right now is a major concern because people don't realize the weight of corn or wheat in a bin, particularly kids. I remember as a kid, I loved to go out in the fall and kind of play in the grain bin because it was like being in sand. But if you get into a grain bin with flowing grain, you can be up to your waist in about 4 seconds. and then you can't get yourself out. So the big motto is don't ever go alone into a grain bin or a manure lagoon. We've had over the past few years toxic gases that have killed people who didn't even fall in. They just got close, and they don't realize the toxic gases that are there. So I would say entrapment is number one, and kind of replacing the old days when tractor turnovers were the main concern on the farm. And then, of course, letting kids play around machinery or in grain bins is just not the thing to do.
Yeah, I know the tractors, and you talked about the tractor turnovers. That technology has become very safe, even to the point where they have sort of a dead man switch,
right.
You know, that turns those things off when you take your foot off a pedal.
Yes, and that's one of those vital things, because sometimes I can remember we've had farmers who have had heart attacks while driving the tractor, and had they had a dead man switch, it would have saved them, really. And so we keep working at it, but again, the safety people keep telling me, don't work alone when you don't have to. So we keep working and hope it improves.
There's some big news this week, and you probably saw this too, from China. They're going to require all gasoline to be 10% ethanol by 2020. How's that impacting the corn market?
Well, it's impacting their corn market at the moment, because right now they have a surplus of corn in storage, and they've got to find a way to use it before it turns bad. So it will affect it in China. The other item, we have a good friend who is very knowledgeable of Brazil. And in Brazil, they've been making ethanol out of sugarcane for a long time. Well, the market has shifted price-wise, and so they're going to start generating ethanol from corn, which is a surprise to some people, not to others. But it's going to impact the corn market, but probably not for a year or two.
What do we have coming up on the show tomorrow morning?
Well, on the show tomorrow morning, you know, it's an agricultural industry in my eyes, but it's not to a lot of people, the thoroughbred horse racing. The season's coming to an end in Arlington Park tomorrow. It'll be the last racing day of the season. So we're going to talk to Chris Block. I think his family is the largest breeder of thoroughbred horses in Illinois. And there has been concern for several years on the lack of support for the industry from the standpoint of an agricultural industry. They've been working on getting some help on the tax situation, because at one time, Steve, we supported 4-H programs in Illinois with a parimutuel tax. And then that went away because they found other uses for it. And then came the riverboats, and they have provided some very strong contrast on the racing industry. So we're going to talk about the future of the thoroughbred industry in Illinois as we end the season.
That sounds good. We'll be listening. Orion, have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, Orion Samuelson with us this morning. The Morning Show with Orion and Max Armstrong tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock right here on 720 WGN. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Friday. No big government reports today. OPEC and non-OPEC oil ministers are meeting in Vienna. Also today, the new iPhone 8 and iPhone 8 Plus are available following their launch at that media event last week in Cupertino. The company also announced the new iPhone X. That won't be available until November 3rd. Fired FBI Director James Comey is in public today. He'll deliver the opening convocation keynote at Howard University. And as Warren mentioned, this is the first day of fall, the first full day of fall. The equinox happens, the fall equinox happens this afternoon, Chicago time, at 3:02 this afternoon, fall begins.